The Lord is still a God to be found. He's a miracle-working God. And I pray that you've come tonight and looking to get in touch with God. I'm going to share some things with you again. Last week, I started a little series on baggage, and let's discuss about, you know, baggage. Those are the things that should not be with us on this trip. You know, things that we carry along that are going along with us on this journey, and it doesn't need to be with me on this journey, and we call it baggage. And then, so we're going to continue in that series, and we're going to go over to Romans, the 7th chapter, and then drop down to Romans 6. But tonight, I want to talk to you about the baggage that you just can't seem to get rid of. You know, the bag that just won't let go, and the bag that we just can't let it out of our sight, you know. There's some of those things that we hang on to. You know, like you get on, there's some things that I get on an airplane flight, and there's some things I'm not leaving at the baggage carrier. I'm going to have it with me and carry it with me and not going to let anybody else touch it, you know what I'm saying? And I don't want those things to miss my flight. But, you know, some of this baggage that we can't get rid of comes from mistakes and shame and pain and the things that happen to us. And we really want, the better name for that is strongholds. It's something that's got a strong hold on you. A stronghold, and it's, you know, a stronghold is a prisoner that's locked up by a lie. And there's things that we may have strongholds in our life that we need to get rid of. I know that I have, and God has delivered me of a tremendous stronghold early in my walk when I gave my life to the Lord, and I'm so grateful for that. But, you know, when we look at the baggage that many times that we carry along with us in our life, baggage from various things that have happened to us, broken relationships, friendships, bad experiences, a variety of things, you know, past experiences that haven't come to pass, or, you know, things that you had hoped for and it didn't come to pass, and expectations, just a variety of things that to describe your baggage that maybe you're carrying along with you. But 90% of these things, they drop off, but there's that one area that we just won't let go of. And what we do when this thing, we have it in our life, we just deal with it and learn to function with it and hang on to it. It's still there. We just learn to function in life, and we need to figure out how to get rid of it. And usually it's those things that we don't want to do, but we find ourselves doing it anyway, right? That's why I know that Paul had baggage. When I look over in Romans 7:15, Paul said, "I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate." How many of us have found ourselves in that position? I really don't understand why I have this lingering in my heart. I don't want to do this, but I find myself doing it anyway. Have you ever been there? Some of you may be there tonight. But God wants to help us get rid of that. And so in Romans, the 6th chapter, let's look at verse 12. Here's where Paul is giving us some instruction, because I believe he won out in his battle. I believe that he won out in his battle in these areas that had control of him. In verse 12, he says, "Do not let sin control the way that you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin." Over in James, one instrument of evil is your tongue. You can allow your tongue to become an instrument of your life that is an instrument of evil. He's saying, don't do that. Don't let it happen. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. Man, if we could just get a hold of that. Because many times we're looking at sin as something favorable when truly it's controlling us. It's our master. We discover that when we try to walk away from it, and suddenly it's dictating to our lives what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. You see what I'm saying? He said, sin is no longer your master. I'm sorry about this mic here. I've got something twitching here. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Okay, I'm going to ask you some questions, because maybe already in your mind you've thought about that piece of baggage that you've got that you can't shake, the one that just goes with you everywhere. I mean, all these other things you were able to lay down, get rid of, get through, get past, but there's that one area that you're thinking in your mind that maybe this is a stronghold in my life. Let me ask you some questions. Does your family say you have a problem? Do you continue to hurt people because of it? Listen, do you arrange your schedule around it? That's like an addiction. An addiction begins to control your life. You begin to schedule your life in line with that addiction and what it dictates to you. Can you go a week without it? Is it leading you to isolation? Are you trying to keep it a secret? Whoa. And maybe you've got that piece of baggage you need to get rid of. Maybe you have a stronghold in your life that you need to get rid of. So see, if you answered yes to even a couple of these things, you probably got a problem, and you're just trying to cope with it. Maybe in the past you tried to deal with it in your own strength, and you weren't able to get rid of it. You weren't able to get through it. So I believe that lucky for you and I, God's Word has solutions. God's got the answer. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The word Spirit here means pneuma, means breath of life. Where there's a breath of life of God, there's freedom. So we've got to find that breath of life. We need to discover the breath of life. And listen, if you look at things, pastors and church leaders, what we're trying to do is create an environment where you can experience God. Because where you can experience God, there's freedom. Where that's provided for you, we started tonight in our worship. There's an area where you can find such freedom and be liberated of so much bondage just in a worship service. If you would simply just let go and worship God, you could find freedom. I mean, the worship's what was an open door for me to step back in with my relationship with God. It just melted my heart, man. It's always, when I met Kathy and we started dating and I went to her church with her, I thought, I didn't know they even had music like this in church. I'd never heard anything like this. You know, the few churches that I had visited growing up, man, I mean, it was deader than a doornail, man, and it's just, you know, it was almost scary. But the music, the environment of music, if you just let go and just begin to worship God, it's amazing how the walls can begin to come down. God can begin to soften your heart. I've seen people get healed right in a music service. In an environment where the breath of life, God's breath, will breathe into you if you can release and just worship the Lord. Let go. Turn it loose. And just begin to love God and let Him love on you. And through the Word of God, to experience God through His Word, if you'll just let the day be gone behind you, come in with a determination to hear God's Word. Let Him speak into you. Let the Word and the written Word become a rhema word to you and speak into your heart. That environment is set where you can receive from God. It can be a life-changing experience if you just let it speak into you. Are you with me? If you do like Brother Hagin used to tell us, have the sense of an old cow, eat the hay and leave the sticks. I mean, there's some things that, I don't know, Lord, I don't know if I can chew on that just yet. Just set that aside and get what you can. Do you know, I can go into just about any church in this town and be blessed. Because I go in with a determination, with an idea that they got something I need. We may not worship the same. We may not dress the same. May not preach the same. But you know, they may have something of the Word I've been missing. And I'm praying for the breath of life, the Spirit of God to breathe into me life. And with that experience, man, my life can change and through prayer. Now listen, to be free, if you can get a hold of this tonight, you can be on your way to freedom and getting loose of that baggage, that stronghold that's been so strong in your life, whatever it might be. For one, it all starts with taking responsibility. With any choice you make, it comes with taking responsibility. So you got to can the excuses. There comes a time, you know, that, you know, there's times that we've had things in our life that we could legitimately blame it on. But there comes a time in your life you got to take responsibility where you're going to move from here, from right here. The things you've been blaming on have been a crutch to you, and it's time to put the crutches down and can the excuses and move forward. If you're ever going to get anywhere, that's where it starts. If you're going to get rid of it, there's got to be a place where we take responsibility. Let's go to Luke, the 14th chapter. That's part of maturity, man, where you get to a place where you quit blaming your problems on somebody else. Amen? Where you quit blaming everything on somebody else. This is where Jesus has gone in to dine with one of the rulers of the Pharisees. And it's really an interesting story. And in this position, Jesus, when he sits down to the table, he begins to see these different Pharisees begin to jockey for position. I guess if there's one end of the table that was had more honor, they were all trying to position themselves to the greater honor. And then he began to share with them. He saw this. He began to share with them about, hey, it's better that you would sit at the end of the table and be honored to move forward than to get there and sit in one of the front chairs and somebody of greater stature comes in and they make you move. How humbling is that? It's better to humble yourself and be honored than to honor yourself and be humbled. I thought that's kind of cool. It's all about humility with the Lord and being humble before the Lord and following Him. Again, we're talking about what? Canning the excuses. When Jesus invites you to follow Him, it's time to let go of some things and say, okay, I'm going to go your way, God. I'll do what you say. I'll follow your steps. You got to make choices. But people even today are making excuses. Look at verse 18. So he invited them to the marriage or a wedding feast, and for people to humble themselves and come. There's many that didn't, but then they just invited everybody to come. But look here in verse 18. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Excuse me for what? For not serving God. Making excuses for not serving God and following Jesus. Another said, I've just bought five yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. You know, I see this all the time where people who've got, if you got a problem, wouldn't it, do you get to a point where you say, okay, I got to go a different direction. I've tried to do this on my own and it's not working. And I've got to take responsibility and follow God. I mean, I got to be either all in or not. I mean, I got to be all in. And it, you know, the maturity of someone, and I've heard this and you've heard it. Maybe there's a point you even said it. Well, I don't have to go to church to have God. I got God, but He don't have you. Oh, He just might. No. If He had you, you'd understand that where He is, what He's all in is about the body of Christ. And when you're wanting to say, no, I got some oxen, I got my place to take care of. The weekends are the only time I got a little bit of time and we got stuff to do. And you show up only on Christmas and Easter? Are y'all with me? Now, I know I'm talking, I'm preaching to the choir. But this CD might get to someone that needs to hear the word. You're just making excuses for not being all in on what God wants. And then when it comes hard, then you start running toward God. Sometimes, well, I don't want to go there. I want to be nice tonight. At some point, you got to say enough is enough. And with God's help, I can experience freedom. So God, I'm all in. If you're all in, I'm all in. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. So one, if you're going to get free of that piece of baggage that's just hanging on, that you are so sick and tired of having it in your life, you got to can the excuses. The next thing you got to do is cut the ties, because you go right back in the same stuff. Floyd, we were visiting, and he was telling me he was at one time when he was in the military, he was over a group of men. I forget, a platoon. He was over a platoon, and when they had this morning rally or whatever they did, had got to go to work. Even in a platoon, you got to go to work. And three of the soldiers didn't show up. And he's, where are they? Well, they're out over there in the sick bay or something like that. They drug overdose. So he said, I want to talk to every single one of them when they get to where they can get out of that hospital. They'd OD'd. Two of them, you know, they eventually washed out. There was one, though, that came to him and said, oh, I'm done with that. I am done. I'm not doing that anymore. That's the last time. Floyd said, no, it's not. You'll do it again. No, I'll never do it again. Yes, you will. No, I'll never do it again. Yes, you will. Why do you keep telling me that? Why are you saying I'll never change again? Floyd said, because you haven't changed your friends. You're just going right back in the same old stuff. You see, that's scriptural. That principle is so true. It's scriptural. And it was like an awakening to that guy, transferred out to another area, another group, got away from that same group he's hanging with. And I think it's kind of neat because the guy borrowed some money off of Floyd. he's the platoon leader. Hey, you got 20 bucks you loan me? I don't know, it might have been more than that. But he didn't care about that. But about a month later, this guy jumps a helicopter back into that camp, comes back in, gained about 20 pounds, looked good, hadn't been on drugs for over a month. He said, I just want to bring you back. Here's your money back. But at the same time, I know it was with a thankful attitude that you were right. I needed a change, but I needed to cut the ties of what was keeping me tied into that. See, that's us. Same thing. 1 Corinthians 15, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Listen, it goes on to say, come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. That means making good decisions. Wise up, right? For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. So we've got relationships and situations and influences that we need to walk away with. They've got stuff on the internet that you can, that'll help you walk away from the things you're connected to on the internet, if that's where your baggage lies, right? And so you've got to be willing to cut the ties that are feeding into that stronghold. You got to know the subtleness of the devil. He's real. Spiritual warfare is real. And it's tied into you if you've got this stronghold of the enemy in your life. Psalms 139 says, David said, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Hey, this could be your baggage, this offensive way that's inside of you, a character flaw, a character issue, or anything like that. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Come near unto God, and he'll come near to you. So he's talking about washing your hands and purifying your hearts. Now here you go. You've canned the excuses. You cut the ties. What do you got to do now? Now you got to fill the void. Where you've taken that and you've pulling it out of your life, getting your house swept clean, you've got to fill it back with something. It leaves kind of this void. It's even like people getting in demon and deliverance. When you cast that devil out, it's like the house has been swept clean. But you got to fill the house back up with the Lord. So that enemy, that devil, that demonic spirit can come back, finds the house still swept clean. He'll come back in, think, man, it's ready for me, and bring seven more. Yeah. And it's worse off than it was before. So what you've got to do is you've got to fill that void with something meaningful in your life. When you make up your mind that I'm going to cut the ties of this, I'm going to quit making excuses for it, I'm going to take responsibility, I'm going to walk away from it, then you've got to put something in your life that's meaningful to help you conquer this stronghold. Ephesians says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Debauchery is defined as excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. That's just kicking over into the flesh realm, is what it is. But he's saying, listen, don't get drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. The question is, what do you put in its place? That's important for us to know. I've seen this over and over and over again in my adult life is people who are quitting smoking. Well, what happens if they don't replace that with something? What happens when you quit smoking? What's one of the? It's not about the cigarette. It's about addiction. That's the element. It's not just about the cigarettes. It's addiction. So when you quit smoking, what do? You take up eating, candy. Or you get addicted to candy. You get addicted to something else. See, you ever notice when you quit smoking, you gain 50 pounds? Because you didn't deal with it right, okay? You just replaced it with something else. All right. So, question is, what are we going to put in its place? And that's important for us to know. If I'm going to get rid of this, I need to replace that with something else. Number one is with God's Word. Why? Because Hebrews says that God's Word is alive and powerful. If I'm going to fill that void, I'm going to fill it with something powerful in my life. The power of God's Word. I've seen people in churches that they don't even have any inkling idea of how powerful God's Word is and how important God's Word is to have in their life. I had one guy tell me one time, I've been getting too much Word. I need to fast from the Word. I thought, you have lost your mind. You don't realize what you're talking about. The Word's where the power is. It's real. So the thing is, you and I should never live a day without this Bible in our life, God's Word in our life. You know what you got to do? Self-feed. You got to start learning to feed yourself a little bit every day. Just reading a little bit every day. And it'll just be feeding you. And you're filling up that void of where that addiction was or that stronghold was. You're starting to fill it up with the power of God's Word. Because, see, Ephesians says that we're washed by the cleansing of God's Word. It washes the stains away. And we all have issues and we need the Word of God in our lives. Amen. Secondly, is prayer. I mean, I'm not talking about a formal ritual. I'm talking about a conversation with God. You need something powerful to replace this void of that baggage. And the Word of God is powerful. And you know what? Your prayers are powerful. James says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then you read the Amplified of that. The heartfelt, sincere prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Your power, your prayer is powerful. You need to be communicating with God. You need to tap into God and pray. Spend time with God. Talk. Just have a conversation with Him. That's what He wants. You need to be connecting. It's about time we connected. If we got a stronghold of the enemy, we've been listening to him long enough. We better start listening to God. Tap into God. When you're praying and you're talking to God, you got to realize God's not mad at us. He's not mad at you. Sure, you're a goofball and you messed up, but He's not mad at you. He understands that you've made a mistake. He understands. He loved us when He knew how bad we were. Come on. He loved you when He knew you were locked in sin. There's times that people have reviled God and spoke ill of God, but He loved them anyway. People have done such horrible things in their life, and God loves them. He hasn't quit loving you. And when you talk to God, you got to realize that. He understands your weaknesses. And so you've got to learn to boldly approach the throne of God. Now listen, go to Hebrews. Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. And I want to read this in the New Living Translation. So listen to this. Follow along on the overhead up here. This high priest of ours, he's talking about Jesus. This high priest of ours, understands our weaknesses. He understands what you're going through. Listen, for he faced all the same testings as we do, yet he did not sin. The next verse is amazing. This is a key. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Listen, hear me. That's what Jesus did. He was tempted just like you are, but he went to the throne of God boldly. And look what happened. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. I dare say there was times that Jesus needed God's grace to empower him to do what he couldn't do in and of himself, to accomplish things he couldn't do in and of himself. He was tempted just like we are, yet he didn't sin. Why? Because he went to the throne of God in a time where God could be merciful and gracious to him and empower him to walk that perfect life. We have this in our head that Jesus, he accomplished that because he was God. I'm not God. How can I do that? Jesus came to this earth and lived as a man, filled with the Holy Ghost, empowered by the Holy Ghost, to give us hope that we could do it too. Sure, he had the authority. Sure, he was God. Sure, he could have come off that cross. He could have called legions of angels to come and defend him. But he gave his life for us so that we could live. But see, he also showed us how to get her done. When he prayed and communed with God, he'd go spend a lot of time with God. And man, it wasn't easy either. The things he knew what he was fixing to go through, he sweat drops of blood. It was hard. It was hard. But he went and drew from God the grace that he needed to live that perfect life. That's just awesome to me. So with you, to fill that void, you got to fill it with something meaningful. And that is with the Word of God and with prayer. And going to God and receiving grace from God to empower you to walk this out, to be strong. And thirdly, something that is good is that what we need is we need an accountability partner. Come on. You know what? We all need it. If you're in a battle all by yourself, you're in trouble. Come on. You need somebody around you who knows about the moment that you're about to go postal and draw you back a little bit, you know. Some people that can speak into your life. Are you with me? Proverbs says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Wow. Yeah. We're in this together, you and I. And that's where, you know, like these small groups, our life groups, there's an answer. We have life in those because you're building relationships. You're building relationships to a point where you have people that you can trust, that you can entrust your heart to. And you can't be an island to yourself. Come on. We need each other. We need each other. And you know what? Here, you need somebody you can trust, but there's other people who need you that they can trust. They need you as well. So there's a lot of people that they come to church, but you can be in bad church and be in church. You can be here and smile and be dressed to the hilt, man, and to the T's and just look good. I look good. I'm a good-looking Christian, man. I look as good as any of them. And on the inside, be backslidden in the heart, messed up, battles, challenge. When I gave my life to the Lord at 21, and I'm not going to drag this out, you know, make a short story longer, but I had a stronghold in my life, and it was just a rage, and I can remember going to the guy that was teaching us, our home group leader, and saying, Billy, you need to pray for me, because he's teaching on demons, and you know, some people are possessed with demons, and some people are oppressed with demons. He said, oppressed is like he's sitting on your shoulder telling you what to do. I said, well, that must be me, because I don't have control of it. But when I went to him to pray for me, I said, Billy, maybe I got a demon. I need you to pray for me because I got this thing in my life that I just have no control of. Oh, you don't need prayer. You're a good old boy. I said, no, you don't know. And some of you might be sitting here tonight, and we look at you and say, wow, you're the cat's meow. You're the best in the West and better than the rest. And you say, you don't know. And the reason I can find that out by asking your wife. Who knows better? Hey, or your husband. Okay. Anyway, where was I? But, so we're filling this void with things. James 5 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Here's one other thing there, and I'll wrap it up when I get through this. One other thing that you can fill the void with is ministry. Serving. Serving. Do something that counts. Because when you do something that counts, then that piece of baggage will get to where it's inconsequential. It won't mean anything. When you get your life headed in a direction where your life is really counting for something, this other stuff won't amount to anything. Romans 12, do not be overcome by evil. Your baggage, let's put baggage. Do not be overcome by your baggage, but overcome your baggage with good. Do something good. Do something. Get on a team. Man, that's what church life is all about. Church life's not about just going to church. Church life's about serving. We need each other. I mean, there's so much people, they come to church and think, oh, there's no room for me. Hey, there's always room to park cars. If it had been raining this evening like this morning, there would have been some ladies out here that would have appreciated you parking their car so their hair would be still up where it's supposed to be when they got in here. Right, ladies? Am I right? Or an umbrella, or, you know, being the hospitality team, greeting people and serving in kids' church, youth, praise team. Yeah, there's lots of room on the praise team. Ushering, there's just so much. Do something, and then you'll see that baggage fall off, and you get it out of your life. And it really, it's all about a relationship with God. The more you press into Him, the more the world's going to fall away. Our goal is to have a relationship with God. He's the one that brings the power to overcome. I wish I could share it like Wayne Bishop shared with me the other day. And repentance. I shared, maybe it was last week I shared that I believe that with me, for me, my life, the Christian walk is a walk of repentance. You know, the Bible tells us we're to repent and be saved. Repent and believe in Jesus. Come to the Lord, but it's not a one-time deal. Repentance, to me, this is me, I have felt like the Lord, He's growing me up in stages, and I'm maturing, and I'm so grateful He didn't tell me everything was wrong with me at the beginning. I'd have probably just killed over dead, you know, I don't know. I mean, but as I've grown, and I'm laying foundation on foundation, He'll reveal a certain area that I need to improve here and I need to improve there, and because I want to live a life that's pleasing to Him. And so I thought, well, my life is a life of repentance. You know, that I repent from things and just the old flesh and things that keep needing to be improved on. And He had somebody come to Him, and a Vietnam vet that came to and got saved, I think, and he's just like, I keep hearing this repentance. From what? I just repent from what? Every time we talk about repentance. And he said, from sin. He said, repentance is walking in freedom. Repentance is a lifestyle of turning from that, going this direction. You know what I'm saying? And just turning to God, the more I keep walking with God, it's like a lifestyle of repentance or freedom. Y'all get that? I don't know. It just hit me. I'm probably not explaining it near as that fifth-generation deacon that was talking. Man, that guy, he's smooth, man. He's got some, y'all with me? No, y'all not with me, are you? You are? Repentance is about relationship.
freedom. Yeah, trusting in God. The more you press in, He's going to press into you. Amen? And now, God brings the power to overcome these things. So we don't want to walk away from God. Listen, you know, having a relationship with God is the easiest thing that you've ever done, but it's going to cost you everything. You. It's going to cost you, you. Giving it all to Him. But what we do is we forfeit our weakness for His power. Oh, glory to God. We're going to pick this up next week. I'd like to go another hour and tell you about how I overcome my stronghold, because there's so much more. But listen, what I discovered when I asked that guy to pray for me about being delivered, get this demon out of my life, because I'd fought at a drop of a hat. I just had such rage. I just fought at a drop of a hat. And that didn't go away. I got rid of all that other stuff when I gave my life to the Lord, but that I didn't. And I said, God, you got to help me. You got to pray for me. And He prayed for me to get that demon off of me, but it wasn't about demons. And I began to find out in the Word of God that there are strongholds in our life. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And see, some of these things in your life have become a stronghold. Unfulfilled passions and desires and dreams and all the regrets, to where the enemy has built a stronghold in your life, and we got to tear that thing down. You got to tear that thing down using the Word of God and pressing into God with a relationship by prayer and serving Him and be a part of what God wants to do. And that's just, here, one other example, and I'll close with this. Hey, I could go over and I'll find the scripture next week and bring it to you. How many of you played marbles when you were a kid? Come on. I had marbles, played marbles. Can you remember when you quit playing marbles exactly? No, I don't. Let's see. What was the day or hour? I can't even remember how old I was when I quit playing marbles. I just soon got caught up in living life and doing things, and one day realized I hadn't played marbles in a long time. Are y'all with me? Are y'all getting this? When you start pressing into God, you're going to begin to realize all of a sudden, hey, I don't even remember when that stronghold fell off of me. Because you pressed into God. Amen. We're talking about bags. Let's stand together. I hope you're getting something out of this. Praise God. Next week, we're going to talk about counterattacks. Hey, it's time we give the devil some of his torture, man. Come on, we're going to hit back at him. We're going to take it by storm. Praise God. The Lord is good. Now, listen, I don't. This, to me, it's a serious topic, because it's serious to you if you've got an area in your life you hadn't been able to get rid of. Y'all with me? You know, I mean, it's a serious thing if you've been wrestling with it for years. And you're like Paul said, you know, there's things I want to do, and there's things I don't want to do, but I'm finding myself doing it. The things I want to do, I'm not doing. That's Paul, one of the greatest Pharisees in the Bible. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. That guy had great discipline towards certain areas, but then when he started serving the Lord, he found out some of his weaknesses and the struggles, just like you and I struggle, and he was good enough to share that with us and show us how to overcome and how he won out. But it's because he called it, when you read there in Romans, he said, who will deliver me from the body of this death? There's nothing worse to a Christian who knows the life of God and the goodness of God, and then you see that stronghold in your life that it's so displeasing and you don't want to do it. It's like death to you. You know you got your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You got your ticket to heaven. But it's like death to you to know better and can't live it out. Something's got a hold of you and you can't control it. That's a type of death. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? I praise God, Jesus Christ. Set him free. Oh, praise God, praise God. And you know what? He can set you free. He can set you free of whatever it is that you've been struggling with, that you're battling with. Because we don't want this baggage in our life, right? We don't want this. We want to be free and live a free life. Praise God.